Well, good morning, everybody. You get the fortunate opportunity this morning to hear one of your brothers preach and share his word, share the word, share his, am I right, Scott, if I say testimony? Yeah. Bit of your testimony. And so we want to rejoice in that this morning. For those of you who are new here, I'm Pastor Shannon. I'm the lead pastor here at the church. And we welcome you here. We're so thankful for you to be here. But let's pray for Scott as he comes this morning to share. Father, we thank you for our brother. We thank you for the word that you have given him because it's his experience with you, Lord. It is his new life in you, Lord. So again, as he shares this morning, Holy Spirit, we invite you to minister to our hearts, to our minds, and to our whole beings. And again, we thank you for your blessing and anointing upon Scott as he shares this morning, giving you all the glory and the praise in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Bless you, brother. It's green now. Is it working? Okay, praise God. Yeah. You know, it just struck me. I've been a Christian for just over 42 years, but at last, I'm in the big time. I made the bulletin. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. $20. A love offering, of course. Got a few days ago that the Lord wanted me to call this from there to here, and I couldn't figure out why. And then just yesterday, I was reflecting on like one of my favorite authors is, well, he's gone home to be with the Lord for a little over 50 years now, but his name is Watchman Nee. And he had a book called Changed Into His Likeness. It talks about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the contributions they've made to the understanding of grace and our relationship with God that we have today. And he said that Abraham was wandering first through the promised land, just sort of checking it out, and he came to a place called Ai and pitched a tent there with Ai behind him and the tent facing forward. And the tent was facing toward another place down the road called Bethel. And I couldn't, okay, whatever. And then I did a little bit more and found out that Ai can be translated as heap of ruins. And Bethel is, of course, the house of God. So when you have Ai in your back, you left behind the old life, the life that is without God. You press on towards Bethel, you're getting yourself into the house of God, which means, glory to God, we have been saved. Amen. We have been redeemed. We are now sons of the living God. And that's a freebie. That's not part of the sermon at all. I was just thinking about that. Yeah, and I went from there, and now I am here. But this, I mean, yeah. I was born on the 7th of May, 1956, into the nicest way I can say it was a militantly almost atheistic, agnostic household. I mean, the closest they ever came to anything with the Lord was maybe watching him sing on CBC TV many, many years ago. Yeah. But despite from that, I had good parents, good mom, good dad, and we always knew that they were there for us, which sure helped a lot when I got saved and knew that God was going to be there for me all the time. But we ended up living in Sherwood Park. And one of my favorite radio stations was at that time, it was called 630 Ched. They played rock and roll. And this is where the whole journey begins. And when you see the whole picture of how God set all this up, you're going to go, poof. But they had a contest. The person, third or fourth or whatever it was, called in, won an album. And I happened to win. And I'm 13 years old. This is 1969. I'm 13 years old. And I won. So I rode in on my bike to pick up this album. And I'm sitting here watching him. And this, I said, can I stick around and watch for a little while? He said, sure, stick around and watch. And I'm watching for a while, and the phone kept ringing. And it was always girls. And I'm going, my kind of job. My kind of job. And it turned out that it was. I watched him, and I went, I would really like to do that. Yes, the phone calls were a bonus, but that's good. I want to do that. So, like I said, I was 13, 1969. I ended up taking a two-year course from the fall of 74 to the fall of 76 in Nate called Radio and TV Arts. And I eventually ended up getting a radio job in Lloydminster, right on the border of here in Saskatchewan. Was there for a few months. I did not like it. I did not like it. Beethoven was, you know, exciting. And that was not me. Got a phone call from a man who was operating a chain of stations in the Kootenays in BC. Said, here, you're not satisfied. And I went, yeah, that's pretty accurate. So he wanted me to come and hire me to work in Fernie to begin with. So I went there. Funny story about that, too. I'm going through the Crow's Nest Pass. I have got everything jammed into my car, including a mattress strapped to the roof. I get stopped by the RCMP. Okay, fine, no problem. And they're sitting in his car, and he's going, not coming back, not coming back, and not coming back. And he says, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Fernie. I'm going to a job there. And he says, can you give me any proof of that? So I had the guy's name and his phone number, so I gave it to him, and he phoned him. And, yep, checked all out. And then he came back, and he said, I'm sorry to have kept you, but I ran your name. And there was another Scott Murray, spelled the same way you are, wanted on a countrywide warrant for 37 break, enter, and thefts. I didn't do it. But that was the exciting part. But I got to Fernie and settled in, had a good time there. And then that was December of 77. May of 78, I got transferred up to the main station and began to fit in there, and it was a lot of fun. But then all of a sudden, I had to start taping this show that they ran every Sunday called Gospel Melodies. The guy would come in and do his little thing, and he's a wonderful guy. He would worship, he did, but he witnessed to me all the time. Even when I made fun of him, and I did. And he never gave up, and I'll always remember that. And that was the beginning of everything. And let me see if I can make this work right. Yep. It says green, but it's not work. Oh, there we go. Nope. Something's happening. Okay. Okay. Anyway, okay, let's see what happens now. Okay. There it is. John 3:16. This is when this began to come into play for me. You know, it says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So, Harold Hall was his name. I'll never forget him. He was so faithful and so good. He was always nice, always cheerful, always had something good to say, and he would record his songs. And then we had another thing called Point of View, when the local ministerial association would send ministers in to record little sermonettes for Monday through Friday, about 4 or 5 minutes long, and I had to record them too. I hated it. I hated it with a passion. But all of that stuff, God is starting to pick away, you know. Because like the seed will be sown, and if there's any hope of any good soil around, it will take root, it will grow, and over time it will bear a crop. Yeah, praise the Lord. Then, all of this is going on. Then in 1980, I met this girl. And I thought, this is it. This is it. And we, but it wasn't, because I was not in a very good place. I was in not a good place at all. We lasted for about a month and a half, and she broke it off. And I don't blame her at all. I deserved that. And then after a while, I never saw her at any of the clubs we used to go to or anything anymore. So we're now into 1981, and I ran into her in a coffee shop one day, and I says, oh, I thought you moved. I never saw you anymore. What, don't you come out anymore? And she says, no, I can't. And I said, why? And she says, oh, I got born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost. I don't want to hear that. I really don't want to hear that, you know? But after that, it's like, have you ever heard the expression, the hounds of heaven? It's like they were loosed on me. I'd be walking down the street to the drugstore to get a pack of smokes or something, and I'd see somebody walking the other way, and I'd go, that's a Christian, I know it. I know it, I gotta run, I gotta run. It was not a pleasant time at all. And that summer, kind of a bit of a reprieve. There was a guy came out from Ontario who was an interim pastor, I don't know, apprentice or something, for the local Presbyterian church. He had long hair, wore cowboy boots, and listened to the same kind of music I did. And I went, okay, I can handle him. And he told me about Jesus a little bit. He plays a part in this too. So everything, bit by bit by bit by bit, is coming to pass. He left. I carried on being Heathen 101 and working on 2.0 for a while. And 1982 rolls around, and things just kept going downhill, 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 until finally, June the 1st, I remember sitting in my apartment. Now, this June the 1st, and I even looked it up, it was a Tuesday, 4:45 in the afternoon. I said, all right, God, if you're real, if you are really there, prove it. Prove it, and I'm yours. Now, somebody told me later, you're not supposed to make deals like that with God, but it worked. And I felt the next day I was supposed to call the guy I met, the apprentice pastor. So I phoned him, and he says, and this is, and he's back in Ontario, 2-hour time difference. That part of BC, we were on mountain time, like Alberta. So I phoned him the next day. He says, oh, I've been expecting your call. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, I was doing my devotions last night about 6:45. There's the 2 hours. God spoke to me and said, you were going to get a hold of me today, and I was supposed to tell you you're doing the right thing. Yeah, okay. Okay, that's proof. That works. And I just, yeah, now let's see if I can make this work. Okay, the other button. There we go. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'll tell you something. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, of course, I'd been a Christian all of about 12 hours. So, of course, I knew none of this. But I'll tell you what I did know. I knew something had happened that was beyond my ability to articulate. I mean, for the first time in my life, I really felt clean. I felt like there was something finally good in me. And I was just so jacked on that. So jacked. All I could think about, all I could talk about. I got into this right away. I would sit one day, Saturday afternoon, nothing to do. I read the Psalms and the Proverbs, and I think I read Hebrews at the same time. You know, I couldn't get enough. It was, give me more, give me more, give me more. It's crazy. Okay, not that one. But anyway, I'm at a coffee shop one day, and there's my ex-girlfriend, the one that started, I got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. So I saw her sitting and having coffee. Again, old things are passed away. I have to go back to that. A little bit of Scottyology. It'll pass for theology, I hope. But once you get born again, old things are passed away. If something is passed away, it's dead. It's gone. So we don't have an old man. We don't have a sin nature anymore. We are pure, 100% AAA, heaven-inspected saints. Might not act like it, but that's who we are. Amen. All things are become new. All the old is gone. Everything is new. Praise God, the life of Jesus is in us. Anyway, I saw her in the having coffee, and I said, can I sit down with you? And she said, sure, go ahead. So I had a coffee, and I said, so tell me. Her name was Sherry. I said, tell me, Sherry, what's the best thing you can think of, the very best thing you can think of that could happen to somebody? She looked at me for a second, and she said, you got a new job? No. What's the best thing you can think of that could happen to someone? You're getting married. No. One more time. What's the best thing, the best possible thing you can think of that could happen to somebody? And it really was. It was like deer in the headlights for a second, and the lights went on, and she goes, did you get saved? Went, yes. And she just jumped up and grabbed my hands, and we twirled around in this restaurant, knocked a coffee cup off the table, and it broke. So we had to buy a coffee table, but that was neat. And the first thing she says is, oh, good, you have to come with me to church on Sunday. Come by Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and pick me up. And I said, okay, we'll walk to church together. Now, with the background I had still, and I've been saved by this time maybe 3 or 4 days, I still knew nothing about strict evangelicals, Pentecostals, charismatic, nothing. So we're walking to church, and she says, I better warn you, this is a charismatic church. My highly intelligent response was, is that like Anglicans? And she did the same thing. She laughed, and she looked, and she smiled, and said, you'll see. And I did. We got into the church, and I didn't know what to expect. We get in there, and I see a man I knew was one of the more prominent doctors in the city of Cranbrook, and he's sitting on a chair, and he's like this, and he's just mumbling. Sounds like it was mumbling anyway. He was praying in tongues and just worshiping the Lord. And I thought, that's kind of different. And then the song service came on. And there was a lot more of that going on. And I went, I don't know about this stuff, Lord. It's kind of freaky, but I like it. I like it. So I fit into this church, and they were good to me and encouraged me. One of the things that stuck with me from the get-go was the pastor of that church said right off the top, when I preach something from the pulpit, don't you dare just take it for truth because I've said it. Go to the Word. Line it up with the Word. If it doesn't line up with the Word, throw it out. I went, wow, okay, I can live with that. And well, it's been 42 years now, and I still live with that. But they started witnessing to me and talking to me about getting baptized. So I go, okay. You know, I'm in for this. In for dime, in for dollar. So they made arrangements for that. And then they started talking to me about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I went, well, I have no idea what that is, but if it's good, I want it. So the time came. I went, got baptized in a lake. It was early August. Just gorgeous in that part of BC. Got baptized and came out of the water speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I was just nuts at work. Nuts at work. All I could think about, all I could talk about was Jesus. I had Jesus t-shirts all over the place. That's all I ever wore. They thought I was so crazy that there was serious consideration among the managers at work to have me thrown into Cranbrook Hospital for a 30-day psych evaluation. If being, you know, on fire for God makes you crazy, I'm guilty. But it just grew from there. Eventually, in 1997, I was living with a youth pastor and his wife at the church I was going to at that time. I'd lost my job at the radio station in 1987. And I'd been trying to get little jobs here and there for a while, and nothing seemed to be working out, and I was getting dead-end stuff for 3 or 4 weeks at a time. And then the youth pastor, Brad, came home, and he says, you know, I think it's time for us to move out of Cranbrook. And I went, I've been thinking that for a couple of days, too. So he says, all right, Scott, we're going to go to Red Deer and check things out. So we came to Red Deer, found a church there, and the guy that was running the soundboard that night, I'm up on the soundboard with him, and he says, yeah, you'll like it here. There's a lot of single girls. Okay. Well, there's a stellar reason to go to church, I tell you. We ended up moving to Red Deer, Halloween Day, 1997. We pulled up in front of the place we were going to live, and there was about 50 people on the front lawn. Like, most of the church came over to help us get everything out of the U-Haul and all of that kind of stuff and into the house. I mean, I thought, I could live here for a while. I could stay here for a while. And now, a lot of you know Joel, my wife Ann's brother. He had lost his first wife to cancer, and he was going to get married again. And was that at his, after the wedding or before? During the wedding, that's right, yes. There's a reception and stuff. And now, I had met Ann a time or two. And just, hi, how are you? Nice to see you. Then at Joel's wedding, God speaks to her and says, that's going to be your husband. And she goes, okay, but you better tell him. So we end up starting to date. And we talked beforehand and said, well, you know, if we're going to date, it's because there's a chance there's something happening here. It's not just for passing some time. And, of course, she already knew, but after about 2 weeks, I knew, too, that we were going to get married. And everybody's going, well, take it slow. I'm going, okay, but we know what's supposed to happen here. So on, and eventually, that was August 13th, 1998, got engaged Christmas Eve that year and got married May 7th in 1999. It's been almost 26 years. A lot of stuff has happened since then. I got an actual good job that I kept for like about 14 years, and praise God, there was some really nice money in it, so it set us up to be, well, comfortable without, you know, God provided in a really nice way. We don't have bills now. We're okay, and I like it very, very much. But it's also opened up opportunities for me. I've had the chance. This is God. I may sound like I'm puffing myself. I'm not. This is God that has put this all together for me. I've had the chance now to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in 5 countries on 3 different continents. Me, okay? Me. Man, oh man. The very first time I went to a full gospel businessman's banquet with some people I knew in Cranbrook, and we went to Kalispell in Montana. Somebody gave a message in tongues and I interpreted it. And I got to talk with a couple of people as well and tell them about Jesus. And so that was good. Eventually, a friend of mine, who's since gone home to be with the Lord, but he was just crazy on evangelism. And he started talking to me. This is now about 2007, 2008, maybe even 2009. He says, "You know, Scott, the Bible says, go." I said, "Yeah, I know. Well, let's go." And he had been invited to Nigeria in 2008 and made an impression over there that the pastor was really impressed and wanted him to come back again. So he started getting after me to go with him. I'm going, no. I'll screw it up. I'll mess it up. I can't do that. No. Till finally, his name is Frank. Frank and I are in down at the south end of Red Deer. There's a little mall with McDonald's in it. And we're sitting having coffee there one day. And I look over, and there's a couple of young ladies sitting at another table. And one is about, maybe 2 or 3 days from giving birth pregnant. And I says, "Frank, I figure I should go pray for her baby." And he says, "Well, do it." Okay. So I did. She was really blessed. You can see she almost was tearing up. And then her friend sitting on the other side was, "I just found out I'm pregnant. Would you pray for me too?" And I said, "Okay, sure." But God used that to take away some of the fear that I might have had for doing things wrong and not being able to put them together in the right way. So he says, "I'm going to Africa again in 2010. I want you to come with me." Okay. So we put that all together. Early in October 2010, got on an airplane, flew. Well, we first made a stop in Frankfurt in Germany. I had a layover there for a few hours. I had my very first authentic German bratwurst sandwich. It was really good. But we're standing in the airport in Frankfurt, about 20, 30 feet away from each other, and Frank's going, "So, Scott, what, Frank? Tell me about this Jesus you love so much." Everybody that was within voice was hearing about how good Jesus was and how much he loved them and what they wanted to do with them. Then we got back on the plane and went to Nigeria, and I remember coming in on the plane and looking, it was so lush, so green. And I got off the plane, and it was so hot, so hot. We landed, and they picked us up and drove us out to where we were going to be staying. The pastor's name was Gabriel Igomu, and he was in a city called Ayangba. They had a compound there with a school and an orphanage and stuff, and so we were based out of there. We went all kinds of places in the southern half of Nigeria where it's mostly Christian. And just amazing to see the people and how they responded. I mean, he talked about us once. We were in a conference. He says, "These men have come from Canada, where they have electric power 24 hours a day. Hot and cold running water. Reliable indoor plumbing." And a lot of that wasn't there, you know? And you think, well, they've got nothing. But you'd see the people, and they just opened up their homes, whatever they had. If they had 3 pieces of chicken, they would give you one, you know? And they loved. They were just, they were like sponges. They couldn't get enough of hearing the word of God. And I kept thinking, man, I sure hope it's like that when I go home. Well, it wasn't. It wasn't. But now I know that it's going to be, because the pendulum is swinging back to that in this part of the world as well, too. 2011, we went back again. This was an exciting time for me. We got to one of the places we stopped was in a village, about 5,000 people in it, but they called it a village, called Ofabo. We were there, and I'll tell you, it's like God came down and went, I'm playing here tonight. It was amazing. We were working out of a church that normally sat about 800 people. But in that village, a lady, elderly lady, they had not seen white people for over 50 years. And this lady had a dream from God, and he told her that there were three white guys coming from Canada who were going to tell them truth. So we got out of the car in the village, and she goes, I saw you. I mean, it had to be interpreted, but I saw you in my dream. She knew it was us. So we preached. And the church held about 800 people comfortably. There was probably about 900 at least in the church. And of course, in Africa, in Nigeria, it does not get cold. So the windows are open. And there was about another 500 or 600 people outside. So there was around 1,500 people were listening to us. 1,500 people. Me preaching to 1,500 people. I'm just, wow, God, what is this? It's awesome. And we told them, the next morning, we're going to have a prayer line. Come up, pray for you, counsel you, whatever you need. So the next morning comes around, and we taught people about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we figured about 300 people got baptized in the Holy Ghost, which was really amazing. And we set up the prayer lines. And this one lady came up. I had an interpreter with me. And she had her son with her. He was 8 years old at that time. And she told me through the interpreter that just at the very beginning, when he was starting to learn to walk, take about two steps holding on to something, he got hit with an inner ear infection. Threw his equilibrium right off, and he'd never been able to get it back and to properly learn to walk. So I said, okay. I'll pray for him. And I prayed, and I cursed the inner ear and all of that sort of thing. And then I took his hand and went for a walk. And we took, and like he'd never been able to take more than about two steps, then he'd fall down. We took, I figure, about two dozen steps, and then he stopped and he looked at me and he sat down. Now by this time, Mom is hollering. She's rejoicing. She hasn't seen that in 8 years. She is just so blessed. So I took him. We walked back, and I gave him to her, and she was, oh, man. I think her smile was about 12 miles wide. She was just, and that was so good. It felt so good. So we're praying for other people. And then, this is God. I mean, ladies came up, three in a row, each with babies, burning up with fever. So the first one, I said, okay. So I just went to put my hand on his forehead. And something, not him, but something woke up, and it was mad. So, I mean, so after all of this has happened, the anointing is about this thick on me, so I just went, oh, I found you out. Way you go. Prayed for him about 5 seconds, and the fever broke. His brow was cool. Next one, same thing. Next one, same thing. Three in a row, back to back. And then after a few more minutes, my interpreter says, sir, look. And I looked, and here was this kid who had never really walked in his life. Not just walking, but running around all over the church. Jumping up and down into people's laps. Running outside. They don't have nice paved parking lots like we do in Canada. It's dirt. And he's digging his toes in the dirt and having just the most fun I think he may have ever had in his life. Amazing. Amazing. We got back to where we were staying that night, and I looked. I went, God, you let me do that. He says, yeah, I did. God is, I mean, wow. You know? God is so amazing. He'll take anybody from anywhere, no matter what you think your qualifications are or aren't. And he will use you. And it's for his glory. His glory. I could tell you stories about people who come up time and again and said how just hearing me preach someplace has affected their lives. It's awesome. And, okay, that's all stuff that happened way over on the other side of the world, but there's stuff that's happened here too. I used to work in the oil patch, and we had a driving school down in Airdrie. And I taught people how to drive trucks, which is a miracle in itself. But and one Sunday morning, I was coming down from the hotel where I was staying. It was 2 weeks at a time. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'd sure like to go to church someplace. I was getting a coffee because they had French vanilla creamer for it. And I heard music, and I thought, that was all right. And then, wait a minute, that's Christian music. Oh, I mean, there's a chance I can go to church someplace? And I followed the music, and I came to a room. And I have to clarify for everybody that's watching online, this is not a slur against Baptists. But a couple of nice elderly ladies were sitting at a table, and I said, can I ask you a question? They said, sure. I said, if I had a good Baptist grandma, would she be mad at me for being here? And they said, yes, they would. Yes, she would. And I went, good. Good. And there, so I went there whenever I was down. One day there was a lady came in, shingles. She was from Quebec. She was visiting. And I don't know if anybody's had it, but apparently it hurts like the dickens. And the rash is something fierce. So we prayed for her. I prayed for her, and a couple of other people were standing around, and instantaneously the pain was gone. We got a phone call from her at the end of the day, and that the rash was all cleared up as well. So that happens here too. If God calls you to something, it's here too. It's not just over there, you know? Even here in Camrose, we were in Superstore one day. Ann had gone one way and I had gone another way. And I got what I needed to do and I'm looking for her. I'm walking, looking down all the aisles. And I got past this one and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit goes, stop. Okay. Back up. All right. Look down that aisle. Okay. You see those people down there? A couple? I said, yeah. I want you to go tell them that I love them. I haven't forgotten them. And I haven't left them in the desert kind of a thing. So I went down, and this guy was big, 6'4", 6'5", not a skinny little guy either, and I thought, uh-oh, but okay. I said, okay, my name's Scott, I'm a Christian, and I believe very much that God wanted me to tell you this, that you're not alone, he hasn't forsaken you, he's walked with you all the time, even though you might not have felt it, and he wants to bring you out of what you're going through. And you could see him going, I'm not going to cry, I'm not going to cry, I'm not going to cry. And she did. And they told me, said, you don't know how much this means. We have been in the darkest place. Said, we've been married for some time now and been Christians for a long time. But this is, for whatever reasons, this was the darkest place they'd been in since they got saved. And that was just like throwing a life preserver to someone that was drowning. And again, God used me to do that. I'm not saying, think I'm all that in a bag of chips. I'm not. That's God who is so good that he can and will use anyone. 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 And there's one more. Do this right. We'll see. Yes. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. the new version saved by faith in, which is good, but it's not full. By the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, all of this stuff happened because I became dead, an empty vessel, and became indwelt by the eternal, uncreated, infinite, loving God. That's how we can do these sort of things. And there is, and we discovered this church. And this church is a great place to be because Pastor Shannon and the leadership team are open to what Holy Spirit wants to do. So this is, man, we love it here. If you're in Camrose watching this, get over here next week, okay? Yes. Thank you, Sister Marion. Hallelujah. But that's about, yeah, that's about the end of it. And that's, well, like Paul Harvey used to say, now you know the rest of the story. Thank you. God bless you. And I want to leave you with one thing. I didn't ask it to be written down. I just got it this morning. 2 Corinthians. The very last. What am I doing here? Yes. The very last verse of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, Paul writes, and he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Thank you very much.